At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session. So I hope you're all keeping well. Of course, for Wednesday, the 8th of December. So we've got a few little elements to be able to try to digest. We had a huge amount of volatility last night, yesterday afternoon actually kicking in. We'll explain the reasons for that volatility and whether we're likely to get significant follow through or not. We're going to, I suppose, lean on one side over the other for reasons that we'll explain momentarily. So let's get into it, shall we? We'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. We're still sort of navigating markets with a high degree of, or let's say, a significant lack of clarity. We like to get a little bit of an understanding about what these markets are doing, why they're doing it. And sometimes you don't really get that correlation. You don't get things fitting into place. And we've been like that now for quite a few weeks. So I suppose the bigger question is, how long will this market dynamic last for? And when will we start being able to identify, because even with yesterday's moves, there is still things that we would expect to react, which hasn't. So it does create a bit of an interesting market dynamic in that way. So all profitable trades need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So trade selection is quite tricky at the moment. Certainly our trade frequency numbers are way, way down at the moment because of these market conditions. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? Of course, trade management is difficult because we've managed to do very, very little over the last couple of weeks, especially if you're looking at the dollar. It's now the dollar is actually beginning to strengthen. I suppose there is elements that you could point to in order for dollar strength. There's also aspects which you'd still probably look for opportunities for dollar weakness. So they're both still intact to a large degree, along with trading psychology. So quite a frustrating period at the moment. We've got into a couple of trades a couple of weeks back. We've kind of been sort of sitting in those trades for far too long. They've now sort of, a couple of them have certainly turned negative. So we address these considerations, of course, every day in our live trade rooms, and we're strong advocates of still maintaining a high degree of consistency in our decision-making, accuracy with the levels we use, discipline with our capital, and, of course, be patient as well. So let's get into it. We'll start, I'd like to start with some market-moving news. But, of course, I suppose the reasons for yesterday's moves were a little bit more as follows. So overnight, we got a surprise 50 basis point rate cut from the RBNZ. We'll have a look at the New Zealand dollar. I might have a quick look at that now, actually. So we're talking about dollar strength is really adding some additional momentum to the downside in favor of the dollar. So this is quite an interesting move. There's certainly, if there's certain pairs that you're interested in, then the downward momentum or the strengthening of the dollar is probably one of them. And you can see the move. We can see the rollover overnight to the downside in favor of the dollar. Again, the pound is also looking considerably weaker, just beginning to roll back over. So there might be some short-term dollar strength trades. The dollar yen, we had a very significant gap to the upside overnight, pretty much due to the the political situation in Japan is now leaning towards more of a stimulative policy, let's say, and as a result, we're now seeing the dollar strengthening as well, as we've commented on across the board. So we've got this stronger dollar, and I just want to just flick through the last few stronger dollar across the board, even against the CAD. It's proving to be a little bit stronger, and we're bouncing off these lows, and we're building up that strength. There's the Aussie. However, something that we would take into consideration around relative strength and weakness would be its correlation with the bond markets. And for the dollar to strengthen, we'd expect these bond markets to rally. And of course, just to complicate things, they're not really doing that. They're at these very significant lows. So we're seeing the dollar strengthen. We're not seeing any movement yet out of the bond markets. We're down at significant lows. And that's kind of a bit of a surprising element to these markets. You then have to build in the fact that we've now got gold at $4,000. It's quite the amazing move. It's remarkably impressive. Very few limited opportunities. We had a couple of opportunities to get in, I think at these slightly lower prices. We were looking for opportunities for pullback trades and things like that. Nothing really would fit particularly nicely. It's certainly easier if you're a buy-only investor. You would have done remarkably well out of gold. A bit more difficult, a bit more challenging to... So we're still in the NASDAQ. We were actually on the verge of booking in profit on the S&P and the NASDAQ when they rolled over to the downside. So we were able to exit the S&P 500 pretty much at the absolute highs. And we were in the process of doing the NASDAQ when it rolled over really quite aggressively. So we saw this type of move yesterday. So a rejection of the highs turned quite bearish quite quickly. And then we just rallied, and 3 hours we made these significant lows. So really, really strong move for financial markets. The reason for that, Oracle, I'll just give you the headline. So Oracle released the report. Get that out of the way. So Oracle stock falls after report reveals thin margins in AI cloud business. So there was a bit of a panic. Was it massively, and Oracle stock fell as much as 7% on Tuesday following a report from the information that revealed the company's AI cloud business operates with razor thin gross profit margins, potentially challenging the profitability of its ambitious AI expansion. So this is about return on investment. So we've been talking about, for the last 2 years, over 2 years, 2.5 years now, there's been excessive capital piling into this AI narrative. And now you've got a big company like Oracle showing up saying, actually, we're not making much money out of this. But then you got to compare and contrast to someone like Jamie Dimon, who's being interviewed yesterday on Bloomberg. And Jamie Dimon, perfect timing, says AI costs savings now match the money spent. So not only is it a massive investment for the investment bank, but it's now beginning to show real signs of return. And this is only likely to increase quite considerably. So the question is, which one is it? Is the whole AI narrative still a very, very good bet, and productivity is likely to increase and continue to increase cutting costs, and it's likely to be hugely advantageous for companies that are investing. That's what we're getting from Jamie Dimon. And then you look at, and on the other side, you've got the Oracle dynamic. So this is probably what we would anticipate is a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction. So you've got a micro development with things like Oracle, with margins much lower than perhaps what the market was expecting. And then an irrational, and this is the problem with a bubble, you see, you get any sort of headline, it can be met with really aggressive selling. And that's what we saw yesterday. However, has anything really changed? If you look at all the announcements we've had on AI over the last couple of weeks with AI, with NVIDIA, OpenAI, and the deal, recent deal with AMD as well. And there's a circular flow of financing now, which feels a bit wrong. And I guess it is in many ways. And that adds another degree of sort of complication to things. But was yesterday a bit of a knee-jerk reaction? We're probably suggesting that it probably is. Now, we could have quite a negative impact on these markets. The Dow Jones as well, not quite as fearful as the move we saw in the S&P and the NASDAQ. So we're not really at the stage where we're willing to just sort of move away completely. We are absolutely getting a little bit of resistance up at these highs, a little bit of sort of angst, which again is not overly surprising. So again, last two or three days, just a little bit of caution. Now, has anything really changed for us? The answer is not particularly. So if this continues to roll over to the downside, we're going to still continue to look for opportunities to buy at lower prices. And the dollars, it's a difficult one to say just regarding the dollar and the opportunities that lie within. Clearly, significant dollar strength. Europe has the additional complication of trying to deal with the political situation in France. They need to pass a budget. Otherwise, the French economy could spiral out of control, which is a bit of a problem for the ECB. But then the markets are pretty relaxed about that as well, because the ECB will step in to plug the gaps and do what it needs to do. It's not going to let the second largest economy in Europe just blow up. So you have a few of these safeguards in place. So that's the euro dollar, the pound dollar. So it's all about dollar strength. And I suppose the situation with the yen is probably a little bit more understandable based on the sort of political backdrop. I mean, the problem we've got is that the BOJ could still make decisions outside of sort of political preference. But there is a clear sort of shift towards further stimulating the economy rather than restricting the economy by raising rates. So quite large, quite significant risk-off moves at a time when equity markets are literally just a few hours away from all-time highs. So you've got that constant contradiction between risk on and risk off. And the moving gold suggests that this market should be probably on its knees. And then you look at the sort of the market dynamics and you're like, well, that's at all-time highs as well. So we've got to try and reconcile that. So it appears that we've got a bit of a more of a risk-off trade than a risk-on trade. But we're very much trying to balance the two. And bond yields, for one reason or another, seem to be staying out of the equation completely during this government shutdown. So we're not getting any move out of this at all. So you've got you've got the investment community sort of panicking in one area, as in the indices, just due to an Oracle headline, and nothing really changes. There's a little bit of a breaking headline there, just at the top of the screen. SoftBank to buy ABB robotics unit for $5.4 billion as it boosts its AI play. So this is just yet another massive round of, again, from SoftBank. They're behind a lot of these types of sort of AI deals. And splashing an awful lot of cash. So you've got a negative Oracle headline, and you've got a really quite bullish one from Jamie Dimon and now SoftBank. So we just question the validity of the dollar strength trade. The trade of the year completely is gold. It's remarkably impressive. U.S. oil. So we're still in U.S. oil. I mean, one of the reasons why we have our stop loss where it is because of the potential that this market is going to be quite difficult for prices to take us out. Now the 6180 is the important level, and yesterday we broke above that and actually stayed above it, and then we gapped higher. So we have our stop loss, we have our line in the sand with these markets, with this the NASDAQ or the US oil. Now we can kind of associate with the pivot we've seen. The RBNZ felt the need to cut rates 50 basis points, stimulating the economy, concern around growth. Now, what impact will it have on inflation? I don't quite recall the inflation numbers for the New Zealand economy, but something to keep an eye out for. They're in a quite an aggressive rate cutting cycle, only pausing for 2 months. They were up at 5.5 and now down at 2.5. This is where people like Stephen Miron wants the US economy to be. So we've got a market over the last number of weeks, since back from the summer, where we've got far more questions than we have actual answers. So a challenging period for sure. Tonight, we've got FOMC meeting minutes. Obviously, we've got the US government shutdown, which adds more sort of negativity to market dynamics. We've now got Donald Trump saying he's not going to pay certain government workers, not going to back pay them. So we're going to hear from Governor Yuda in the early hours of the morning. Let's see, the market will be listening very, very carefully to see if he makes any suggestions around, stimulating the economy even further, whether it even needs that stimulation. We'll be hearing from Fed Chair Jerome Powell. There is tentative unemployment claims. It doesn't look like we're going to get those numbers out tomorrow. Due to deliver opening remarks in a pre-recorded video. Okay, so not particularly important. Not likely to say something you shouldn't in a pre-recorded video. So he's a bit too savvy for that. And then we have the University of Michigan consumer sentiment numbers and inflation expectations as well. See where those come in. Those will be a couple of interesting bits of news. So it's a difficult market to navigate. I think that's the first thing. Now, could we get a short-term sell-off in the indices markets? Yes, absolutely. We still, I suppose, have that overall bullish bias, even with the Fed. So we bounced off yesterday's lows reasonably well. We'll just bring these up to speed. No end in sight for gold. No opportunity to really get into it either. With all of these little sort of minor little pullback trades, they kind of bounce off the lows and you're really only buying all-time highs every single time with really quite wide stop losses. So right now we've got, you'd have to say, kind of a mild risk-off market dynamic. This should be a little bit more bullish for US oil. So wherever we look, we've got questions that we don't really have any answers to. Now, there's every potential for further downside for the pound. The difficulty when you're waiting for markets to pivot is, you can get these long pullback trades where prices take a little bit of time to sort of find their lows. Now, we're all the way back to last month's lows in the euro dollar. We're on our way there as far as the pound dollar. Is there enough in the dollar trade for things to pivot? Not so sure. We get the court's announcements around the tariffs. I think early next month. So we'll see how that impacts things. I suppose the best way to put it is there's a lot of questions right now and sort of very few answers. So we're still in the NASDAQ trade. We're in the process of booking in profits up at these highs last night when it sort of snapped back off the highs. And everything else is a little bit upside down. If you got risk on, you'd probably expect a bit of weakness in US oil. We're getting the opposite. We're getting a strong rally. There's a lot of sort of ongoing conflict around this. We've had a dollar move overnight. So sometimes, if in doubt, we can perhaps stay out a little bit. So broad-based risk on market conditions, fueled by a dovish Fed, driven by worsening US job numbers and a strong capital-fueled AI rally. Okay. Current risk-off market conditions. Yeah. So we can remove. So dollar strength is currently in play. Potential US indices strength. So it's kind of, we've got the dollar up and gold up at the same time. Right. So current market summary, current risk off market conditions, dollar strength, gold strength as well, and potential US indice strength. Sorry about that interruption there, guys. Apologies. Yeah, so look, we're broadly in doubt. So we can have a look and see if there is further dollar strength. Gold strength seems to be the most significant trade in town at the moment, and potential US indice strength as well. So everything is strengthening, and keeping those options open. It's kind of the only it's the only way forward with us. So look, for now. So I'm going to post this into the chat box. I suppose the fact remains, you know, if in doubt, do stay out and we can get a number of very, very good, high quality, high probability trades in a very short period of time. The fact that we've got like a information vacuum at the moment with this government shutdown, and we don't quite know how long it will last for, and there's a lot of uncertainty around that, it's really kind of impacting this the sentiment behind these markets. So let's see how we get on with these and see if we can identify a high probability trade. All right, so listen, on that note, guys, we'll let you go. Apologies for this running on a little bit longer than anticipated. We're kind of between a risk on and a risk off market condition. There's things you can point to in either direction to support those trades. And let's see where things go from here. Right, on that note, guys, thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next time. And those of you that are joining for the European training session, we'll be broadcasting there live in just a few moments. So we'll see you very shortly. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Bye for now.